Hello and welcome to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. This is Pastor John. Sitting across from me is Pastor Travis, and we are coming at you from Evangel Community Church in Houghton. Thanks for joining us today. Travis, I've got a question for you to get things started off today. When you were a kid, did you have someone that you looked up to or someone that you idolized that you can share with us in good faith?
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to remember that I grew up in the land of milk and cheese down in Wisconsin. So I think just about every kid grew up idolizing in some way, shape, or form somebody from the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, and I was no different. Oh, gosh.
But, you know, it took some time before the team was actually decent enough to have anybody on there that was good enough to really look up to. And so for me as a kid, I've got to say it was Brett Favre. My folks just came up over the summer for a little while, and they brought with them all of my old crap from the basement that sat there for the last 20 plus years or whatever it is. So my son is now the proud owner of my big, like, 3-foot by 4-foot leader of the pack Brett Favre poster.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, it was, yeah, that. I mean, it was always, like, I never got into, like, the celebrities or the musicians or stuff like that. It was always sports figures for me.
Mm-hmm.
So how about you? Did you have anybody that was...
Well, since you brought it old school and hometown, I got to say, growing up in the 90s in Chicago, it definitely was not a member of the Packers, I'll tell you that.
Ditka?
Which, now that's a now idol for me, but I know when I was a kid, you could not avoid the I Want to Be Like Mike, Michael Jordan.
The Gatorade song.
Yeah. I mean, it was everywhere. And growing up in the Chicago suburbs, I realized even when I was a kid, you know, I'd go visit my family in northern Minnesota, and they were all Bulls, wearing Bulls gear anyway.
Everybody was back then.
A little bit of a hype around him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit that's an understatement. But yeah, and I maybe have told this story in a different context before, but I can remember when I was a kid, all I wanted to get was a Michael Jordan jersey.
Ooh, the authentic one with the stitched on
numbers. Oh, yeah, I wanted the real deal. And the closest I ever got is one year, because they didn't want to get us the same thing. I have a cousin who's several years older than me, but we often wanted the same stuff for Christmas. So we both wanted Jordan jerseys. And in my grandma's logic, she's like, you know, I don't want to get him the same one. So he got Jordan. Can you guess who I got?
I hope it was Rodman.
No, it was pre-Rodman.
Was it Pippen?
Pippen.
That's the number two gift.
I have a new respect for Pippen. I watched that Bulls documentary.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of respect for that guy. But at the time, I was very disappointed. I was like, 33? So close.
Come on, Grandma.
23. Come on, Grandma. You know? But yeah, he was an idol. And I look back on him now, and after watching that documentary, I'm like, boy, he was not that great of a dude in a lot of ways.
No, I think you start to look back on any of those people that you kind of idolized as a kid, and you realize, oh, guess what? Yeah. They were human too and fallible and just as messed up as everybody else. They just had some fame in the spotlight on them and some dollars.
Absolutely. Well, and this is the topic that we're talking about today. It's idols. And, you know, this is, I think, kind of a big, heavy subject in a lot of ways, but it's also one that we have to tackle, because if we don't think about this or we recognize this, we can get out of control in this area. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about idols. What is an idol? We're going to talk about why idols are so prevalent and maybe talk a little bit about the reasons why we make idols, right?
Yeah.
So what are they? Why do we create them? And, you know, what are some reasons that we do that? To start us off, Travis, how would you define an idol in the biblical sense when we're talking about, I mean, and I should set the framework here. This is something that we see in scripture that the Ten Commandments, right from the forefront, God commands his people not to worship idols. But what is an idol?
Well, I would just say in general, an idol is something that we have extreme devotion towards or for. You know, I think of the kids at Justin Bieber concerts that are like, oh, Biebs.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's actually maybe not still playing or it's finishing, but that show American Idol, I mean, we got right to the point there.
Well, even I was a big fan of Survivor, and one of the big components of that TV show game was finding the immunity idol, and people would do crazy things to find that thing. So they had extreme devotion to it, and if you think of it in a biblical context, it's something that takes place that devotion, that commitment in our lives that's different than God, something separate apart from right. God, something not good. I mean, it doesn't have to be a horrible thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we think of like the little carved out caricatures that you see in the Old Testament, the household gods and idols and things like that. It doesn't even have to be a picture of a god or anything like that. It can be something that just takes away our focus, our time, our energy, our priority mm-hmm. in life and puts it on something apart from God.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, this is maybe getting a little bit into the why we create idols, but there's some philosophers out there who have talked about this idea that what's really happening when we create idols is we're trying to create something that we can control or something that we can manage, right? We want to be able to
manipulate,
yeah. you know. And just this past Sunday, I preached on idols and this idea that we are, as human beings, we're really good at making idols. I talked about Exodus 32. It's a famous passage. This is right before we get the Ten Commandments. And Moses goes up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And up to this point, God's done amazing things with the Israelites, his people who have been following Moses. He's freed them from Egypt. He's saved them from the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. He's been feeding them basically just out of nothing. He's providing food for them, the perfect amount that they need every day. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think at this point in Exodus, they've already experienced the water from the rock. Maybe that comes mm-hmm. after, I'm not sure. But the point is, God has been showing up for them and revealing himself very directly. And Moses goes up onto the mountain and he's gone for longer than they expect. And they think that he's gone.
Yeah.
He's never coming back.
Everything's
falling apart. And so they make an idol. They literally, Aaron, who is Moses' cousin, says, okay, everybody, give me all of the gold that you have on you. I'm going to melt it down. We're going to make a bull and we're going to worship that thing. And we read that now and we go, what
yeah.
is wrong with you? You know? So I'm curious. I did some study on this that kind of opened up my eyes to some things that I never thought about before with this. But when you hear that story, I know you've heard it before. What is your thought on what's going on there?
I just think about the lack of faith in that. I mean, for 40, whatever the time frame is, in that they're in that 40-year window of wandering through the desert. And God, you know, you said providing food for them, but every day there's a pillar of smoke
and
the pillar of fire at night to lead them. They're seeing all these miraculous things. Their clothes and their sandals aren't wearing out as they're trudging along on this thing. And so to have God right in your midst and in your presence, and yet your faith is so minuscule and so easily broken.
Yep.
It makes me go, what? And it makes me kind of scared for my own faith.
Yeah.
Like how easy is it for me not having those things, for us not having those things to quickly lose.
Right.
You know?
How does that old hymn go? Prone to wander, God, I feel it. I mean, there's this reality in us that how much will it take for us to lose faith and walk away or to turn to something else? You know, that's what an idol is.
Yeah.
An interesting thing that I never thought about with this story is certainly, and if you don't know the next part of it, God knows what's going on down there. But he tells Moses, these people that I have freed, my people have now turned and are worshiping this golden calf that they made. I'm going to kill them all. We're done. And Moses basically has to talk God down and say, what will this look like to the people around us that you freed these people and then killed them in the wilderness? And what's it going to do to your glory and all this? That's a whole interesting topic in and of itself. But the interesting thing that was pointed out in some of the study that I did was that not only were they, there's this aspect of they're worshiping another God. It's possible that really what was happening there is they made this bull to represent Yahweh, the one true God who had freed them, which also is they're commanded not to do in the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. not to create an image of God because he can't be contained in that. And so it's possible that Moses, who had been their closest connection to God, if he's gone and they're worried that he's disappeared, they are clamoring to find a new way to be able to relate to God or to be able to represent God. Which just brought up all kinds of interesting thoughts about, you know, expanding my view of what an idol is. So that's a little bit about what an idol is. It's when we're putting something in the place of God, when we're lifting something up above how we lift up God, that becomes an idol. Let's talk a little bit about why we create idols. there's a few reasons that I thought we could talk about. One of them is that just like those ancient Israelites, we still want to make idols out of things that impress us, mm-hmm. right? They made that idol out of gold. That was something that was precious to them, just like it's precious to us. We make idols out of things that impress us. What does this look like? There's so many possible things that can fit into that idol place in our lives. Even just the way early or even still some remote cultures that exist right now, what do they usually worship? They find something in nature.
In nature.
You know, the sun, mm-hmm. a mountain, a big river, the ocean, whatever it is. They find these things that feel bigger than them, maybe are mysterious to them, and it's something that, okay, we need to worship this mm-hmm. now or whatever. It speaks to something, I think, that's deep in us, that we want to find those things that are impressive to us and we want to make them into something special.
Yeah.
Psalm 19:1 is where it talks about the heavens declaring the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's flipping that idea upside down, right? It's saying, no, don't worship the sky, don't worship the sun, because they're just showing you the glory of God
yeah.
as he created them.
Well, and that makes me think, like, there's a, you know, I like to do the outdoor activities and the biking and the hiking and the yep. all that stuff.
Yep.
And there's a prominent mindset within that community of like, oh, creation, that's where I can worship. That's yeah. where I find my spirituality in those things.
Right.
And it's just a lesser than idol, because yeah. why worship the created component rather than the creator?
Yes. This is, for both of us, our example of our childhood sports idols, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't watch Michael Jordan do those huge air dunks with the tongue sticking out. I'm telling you, I was a little kid, you know, jumping up in the air with my tongue out because I thought it made a difference because
oh, yeah.
I was trying.
Oh, yeah.
But because what he was doing was impressive.
Absolutely.
It was something that I went, wow. You know, and I'm sure for you, watching Brett Favre be unbeatable and make every pass, I'm shaking my head as a Bears fan because I had to watch
this.
They
still own you, man.
Oh, I know. I like Brett Favre a lot more now that I know about Aaron Rodgers. I'll just say that. So, but you see the thing here. It's about these people who do things that impress us. They do these things that we look up to. And then that can often become a candidate where you got to watch out mm-hmm. so that we don't start to say, well, like you, I love the way you said it just a moment ago. It's us worshiping the creation rather than the one that created them, you know, thinking about those gifts and abilities that those athletes have, or musicians or
yeah.
painters or whatever. Those gifts didn't come from nowhere.
Right. And obviously, as we're talking about this, we're coming from a perspective where we've committed our lives to following Christ. And so this is a kind of a foreign concept for people that don't know who Jesus is and don't walk with him. But we're called as believers to have some things change in our lives once we come into a relationship with Christ and accept the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of the cross.
Yep.
This always, whenever this topic comes up, it always makes me think of the passage out of Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality. Oh, sex is another big idol
yes,
on earth.
Yes.
Impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which we've kind of talked about, which is all idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, which we just mm-hmm. mentioned, but now you must get rid of these things, all these other things too, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Again, it goes back to this, don't worship the created stuff.
Right.
Don't worship the earthly stuff. Worship the one that created all of it, the one that's in charge, that spoke the universe into existence with just words.
Yeah.
Which is impressive.
Yeah.
So we're settling for a less than life when we start to worship the created things versus the creator.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a dangerous place for us to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's skip ahead here to the last reason that we might, or the last category, maybe, however we say it, of what we make into idols. And that is making idols out of essential things that we need. Some things that fit into this category: food and clothes, entertainment even,
mm-hmm.
Love. We make idols out of these things. I mean, this one to me can be the most nefarious and tricky, because a lot of these things are good.
Oh, yeah.
Love, having food, being, you know, safety, those kinds of things. But when they become ultimate, when they become, and then this is the way I see it show up in my life, when it becomes a barrier that stops me from doing things that God's called me to do because I'm too worried about these things mm-hmm. that I see as essential and that I worry about not having them. If I do what God's calling me to do, will I lose this?
Yeah. If you don't have enough health insurance or enough life insurance, you know, we've been talking about that being middle-aged dudes now with families and stuff, or, you know, if you just look at us as a country specifically, we're pretty well-to-do as far as a nation goes, and you take a look around the rest of the world and we have indoor plumbing, mm-hmm. and some places still don't have that.
Yep.
And we've got cars and we've got airplanes and we've got all these excess dollars to spend on entertainment and pleasure and things like that. So the idols that we have are not going to necessarily be manufactured gold bulls or things carved out of wood and stone like they had back in the Old Testament times, but we still find those things that our hearts are drawn to. And usually those are selfish things, selfish endeavors, selfish pursuits. Work can be an idol in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wear that badge of like, I'm super busy. I'm just grinding it out. I'm climbing the ladder for the sake of what? Well, ultimately you're trying to pursue money and trying to pursue maybe some recognition and some notoriety in those things. And again, it's putting something above God, above where he should be. And if we go through the appropriate directive of priorities down the list, it should be God and then everything else.
Yep.
And all those gifts, those blessings that we have of a career, of finances, of a car, of a family, of a house, all those things are really blessings from the Lord.
Yep. Yep.
But Matthew chapter 6 talks about this stuff. He talks about, you know, don't store up these treasures on earth. Those things, rust is going to come, moths are going to destroy them. And ultimately, when we pass on from this earth, we're leaving all that stuff behind. Whether it's the accolades that you received at work for burning up 80 hours a week at the neglect of your family, or the treasures that we have for the cabins and the camps on the lake, or the cars that we have, all those things are going to have a lifespan to them.
Yeah.
And your soul has an eternity to it.
Yeah.
And so that passage goes on to talk about, therefore I tell you, do not worry about life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, or what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And there are so many things. I mean, these essential things that we need: food, shelter. As humans, you do need that love in your life, that feeling of value and being cared for. And we look around us to be able to fulfill those things or those needs ourselves. And again, putting God out of the priority place, out of that priority position. And, you know, Jesus talked about coming to this earth to give life to the full when we're in him. And when we have Jesus, like, those things settle down in that order. Mm-hmm. That peace comes where, I might not know what tomorrow brings. I might not wake up tomorrow, but God's got me awake and breathing here today. Yep. And I've got, as far as everybody listening knows, I've got clothes on, you know, and John,
I can confirm.
All right. Thank
you. I can confirm now that you open that door.
But we get so wrapped up in these things, these materialistic things that have a lifespan to them.
Right. Right. I mean, this is what it comes down to with all idol worship. It's making the creation ultimate above the creator. You know, we've been talking about worship here at Evangel for the last couple of weeks, and it comes down to what we were created for. We were created to worship God.
Mm-hmm.
True and correct worship is lifting up God above all other things. The way that I've been saying it is valuing God above all other things. And so I want to pose this question to you, our listeners today. What idols are you serving? What are the things that you have placed above God? Is it a person, someone who you idolize or look up to? Is it your safety? Mm-hmm. Is it, I want to make sure and worry about the things that I need?
Or that your political party is in charge
absolutely.
And running things the way you want them to?
You know, we could make a whole podcast series out of this probably, but parents out there, are you making your kids an idol?
Mm.
Oh, it's hard.
That one,
because there's a fine line sometimes between protecting and raising them up the way they're supposed to and making them an idol, where now we're lifting them up above even what God would have for us. And here's the reality in those kinds of things. If we're putting God in the right place as the ultimate focus of our devotion and our worship and our value, those other things have a way of falling into place. We begin to know what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live as parents, how we're supposed to parent and raise our kids. And of course, our kids are individuals. We can't force them to be a certain way, but I've seen and experienced that when I have the priorities correct and I'm lifting God above all else, those other things that I can worry about become much smaller. They're in their right place. So just as we close today, you know, I want to make sure that you're reminded today that this whole topic of idols is not a small thing. When we're idolizing other things or other people or concepts above God, it's a dangerous thing. It takes away the worship that it's meant for God. It also can dehumanize us because often we become what we worship.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is not a small topic. And also, when we're worshiping other things other than God, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment. One way or another, we're going to be disappointed. You take just the small example of our childhood idols. You know, you talked about realizing that they're not perfect.
Yeah.
Luckily, for both of us, I know that we move past, I want to be like Mike or I want to be like Favre. And that's good. But if we would have put all of our eggs in that basket, we'd be disappointed eventually because they're just people.
And I think that's a great point. Like, it's that never, you can pursue those things and it's never going to fulfill you.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Jesus said that the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And the second is like that, love others like yourself. Because when you have the love of God and you're sharing the love of God with other people, that fills your heart and that starts to put the places in your heart are so filled up that you don't have any more room to carry on and pursue those other things. So hopefully that is good news that we can all use this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed our topic today and want to catch a replay of it, you can do so. Just search out Evangel Houghton Podcast on any of your devices there. You can always go to our website, evangelup.org, and find previous or our latest Pearls and Swine podcast episodes on there as well. And as always, if you have any ideas for topics for us to cover or have any comments to share with us, you can email me, Travis, at evangelup.org. And thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We will catch you next week.